Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, titled, To Judge or Not to Judge. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. Or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study in Luke 6:37, titled To Judge or Not to Judge. This is part one of two.
Momentarily. Start with the current events update. How many of you know Satan hates the King James Bible? No. Satan hates the King James Bible, and his people are serving as his propaganda ministers. The news media is the propaganda wing of the liberal Democrat Party and Rhino Republicans, but they also serve in this. We've talked about how many times on news reports and documentaries and such that they undermine the truth of the Word of God, try to make it look like it's not historical, all that kind of thing. Well, John 8:44, Jesus is speaking to those undermining the Word of God in his day. He said in other places that you have made the Word of God of none effect by your tradition. And he said here in John 8:44, in case you're wondering why I said his people, Satan has a people. And the fact is, if you're not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you may even be unknowing about it, but you still belong to Satan. And Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. And it goes on to say he's a liar. And of course, that's one of the great tactics. Acts 13:10, Paul was rebuking Elimas the sorcerer, also known as Bar-Jesus, and that's son of Jesus. There's actually been people come out and claim that Jesus had children, married Mary Magdalene, all that nonsense. Those are all lies of the devil. And when Paul was rebuking Elimas, son of a different Jesus, he said, oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? How many of you talk to people and they said, I don't think there's any such thing as people who are a child of the devil. We're all children of God. Yeah, they say that. It's a lie. They're deceived. So here's an example of Satan's propaganda. This is a meme that I've seen several different versions of it passed around all over social media. And if you zoom in there at the top, you'll see line number one. Did you know Sir Francis Bacon was the editor of the King James Bible printed in 1611 and he was a Freemason? That's a lie. Sir Francis Bacon was not the editor of the King James Bible. There are a number of books. You could get Lawrence Vance has one, King James and His Translators. I think Gail Ripplinger has a book on that subject, but also even non-Bible believers. I think the guy's name's Nicholson or Nichols. I can't remember the name now. It has a book called God's Secretaries. And they will tell you who was in charge of the King James Bible. And by the way, it wasn't King James either. But the translators did not include, and there was no editor named Sir Francis Bacon. So line number two at the bottom is, it shows a Masonic Bible, a Bible with the Masonic symbol. And it says, the first edition of the King James Bible, which was edited by Francis Bacon and prepared under Masonic supervision, bears more Mason's marks than the Cathedral of Strasbourg. So what they do is they make you believe that that is the first edition of the King James Bible with a big compass and square and G, you know, Masonic symbol. And that's a lie. This is the actual copy of the first edition. Doesn't look the same, does it? But if they had put that picture on their meme, it would have lost its power. It has a square sideways like this, so it's like a diamond, and then in the middle is another little square with a tack.
A rivet.
And back then, that's how you had to hold things together when it came to book covers. And so that's how they held it all together. So let's say be the devil's advocate. What if there were some Masonic markings around the text? Like these. See, there were some artwork that was not produced by the translators or King James. It was produced by the printer. Well, listen, folks. There are King James Bibles with Masonic symbols on the cover. Why? Because it's not copyrighted and anybody can print King James Bibles. And they took the King James Bible and messed up some of the references to homosexuality and put it out as, they called it the Queen James Bible. They've done that. It's a free country. But that does not change the King James Bible. And no matter what notes you put on it, the Mormons put out a version of the King James Bible. They're on it. And they have all kinds of notes with it. The Jehovah's Witnesses put out an edition of the King James Bible as well, with notes that undermine the text and everything. So what? That doesn't change the text. The King James Bible is the issue. The text. The words. And so when you have, by the way, you might see real close there, you see the sun with a face on it, the moon with a face. People will claim those are occult symbols. When there are times where little kids will draw the sun, put a face on it.
Exactly.
The kid's not a Satanist. You know, but there are people who don't have common sense and they don't measure things. You know, you have to ask, just like reading your Bible or anything else, the context and the intent of the author. Okay? So, you see there in the middle, you see that handshake?
Yeah.
That's a Masonic handshake. Yeah. But it's also used by other people. And actually, it's a great handshake to learn. Because it's called the the claw of the bear, or bear claw they call it. And I'm telling you, I'm just going to admit I weigh too much. And so if I were to fall down in a hole, you think I'll never get you out of there, Greg. But I want to tell you, if I'm unconscious, dead weight is another issue. But if I'm in that hole and you know that, or I tell you right now, I'd tell you. Now, here's what you do. And I'd tell you how to do that, what's called a handshake. It's a grip. And you will be able to pull me out of that hole and you'll be shocked. Sometime we'll do it. I did it with kids one time. We were studying the cults, and I was talking about the Masonic handshake. And I had the biggest kid in the place lay down and the skinniest little girl in the place walk up. They did the handshake. She put her foot against his foot and pulled him up off the ground.
Wow.
And so it's a great thing if you're using it for that purpose. But if you're using it for secret Masonic stuff and all that, that's a different story. And so the question is, did this affect the text? And the answer is no. And that's what the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's why we have to correct. Most evangelicals get this wrong. They'll say that Paul was inspired. Paul was not inspired. The Bible says the holy men of God were moved. But what's inspired?
The Scripture.
Scripture, is that people? It's the words.
Well, that is one person.
Well, Jesus was the living Word. And all this is His Word from Genesis to Revelation. But it's words that are inspired of God, given by inspiration, breathed. And so people really look at you crazy if you say this, but it's true. If you say Paul was not infallible. And there are people who look at you and say, what do you mean? He wrote the Bible. Paul wasn't infallible. And Peter wasn't infallible. Peter wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, right? Was he infallible? Are you listening to me?
No, he was not infallible.
He was not infallible. What was infallible?
The
words were infallible. So what's that mean?
Peter denied him twice.
That means Paul had to rebuke Peter. And yes, he denied Jesus. People said, well, that was before the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. Okay, after that, Paul had to rebuke him to his face. That's right. He was in error. Because Peter was not infallible. And by the way,
he wasn't the first pope either.
Some people would. And he was married and so forth. The cover, notes, artwork, etc. have nothing to do with the words. So if you buy a study Bible, if you have a Scofield Bible or, you know, whatever, the notes are written by men. The center column references, even. They weren't given by inspiration. And anything other than the words of the text itself. They got a lot of King James Bibles. You look at the footnotes, say better rendering would be. You know what you do with that? Take a pencil or a pen and scratch it out.
Sharpie works better.
Now, never do that to the words of the text. But the notes, just scratch them. So why do the liars work so hard to undermine the AV 1611? I quoted this before recently. Psalm 107:11, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. That's what it's all about. And why have they done that? John 3:19, Jesus explains why people reject the truth and hate the truth. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You ever explain something to somebody and they just don't, they won't listen? You're like, you're not that, you don't say it out loud, but you're thinking, you're not that stupid. You talk to an evolutionist and you're like, you can't be that dumb. They're not. They're not dumb, they love their sin. That's exactly what Jesus says here. Yeah, John?
This has probably been explained before, but the word in the previous, was it two verses? Yeah. T instead of D. What's...
What are you talking about?
Contempt instead of condemn. So what's the... Is there a big difference?
I don't believe there's a difference. Other than the T and the D, it's like there are other words in the King James that are like that. That there's just this judgment. Is sometimes spelled with an E and sometimes not. And that goes, I think, I have to look at it, to be honest with you. That's the first time I've ever even thought of that particular difference. Make a note of that. She's looking it up. So we'll close this out by saying by 1650, that's the year, 1650, all questionable artwork was removed and the words remained the same. So remember that when people try to undermine the King James Bible. All right. Before we get into the study, we're in Luke 6. If you want to go ahead and get your Bibles open. But Brother Douglas Yorey pointed this out to me in our previous study in Luke 6. It's Luke 6, 16. And it's just the first little part of that text. Remember we were looking at the apostles? I think the message was titled, He Chose 12. And I didn't know this, or I'd mentioned it. And so I'll mention it now. In your King James Bible says, and Judas, the brother of James, brother. All the new Bibles, including the so-called New King James, they changed that to say he's Judas, the son of James. That's quite a change, isn't it? Now, the literal translation is just Judas of James. Because when you're translating or you're reading the Greek text, you tell from the context of what they mean. And so the King James translators understood that this was one of Jesus' brothers. He's listed. And so that's why they said he's the brother of James, because that's another of Jesus' brothers. So you say, why the change? Well, here's the short version. If this Judas is the brother of James, then the book of Jude, you do know the word Jude is from Judas. So the book of Jude was written by an apostle. Well, you see, liberals don't like that idea. Liberals want you to believe that the New Testament was written later than it was, and some of the books are written by people we don't know, and all this, so that they can undermine your faith in the book. That's what liberals do. They lie. Liberals want to undermine your faith in the Word of God. They want to undermine the Constitution. Liberals do the same thing according to what sphere you're in, you're talking about. But liberals don't like that idea. And the reason why it's in your evangelical new versions isn't because that's what the Greek text says. It's because modern evangelicals are stupid. Amen.
Amen.
They go along with this garbage for no reason except they are always bootlicking liberals. They think, I want to be respected. I want to have the respect of scholarship. Therefore, I'm bootlicking the liberals all the time. That's a modern evangelical. And you go read their books and things. Actually, don't bother, but some of us have. They, if plagiarism were applied to evangelical scholarship, there'd be all kinds of charges brought. They copy each other and repeat each other and parrot each other all the time. And so one guy goes along with it, and then the rest do. And that's what you have in your new versions. Not because of a translation of the Greek language text, but because they are in lockstep with the Laodicean apostasy following liberalism, following liberals. And so that explains that. Appreciate Brother Douglas bringing that to our attention. Anybody, any of you studying along with us, if I don't mention something or something you think I'd be interested in, I love it when, you know, it tells me you're listening. Preachers love to realize, you know, yeah, you all sit out there. I don't pay attention to you. You could be out there just eyes glazing over and thinking about lunch. I wouldn't know. But if you talk about the message, you send me an email or something about it, man, I'm like, yeah. We're in Luke chapter 6. You want to open your Bibles? Verse 37. In our study, we will title, To Judge or Not to Judge? That is the question. Luke 6:37. So if you're there, read that with me. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. So, how many... I could almost predict everybody's going to say yes, but how many of you heard people say, judge not lest ye be judged?
Stop.
Yeah. And period. Well, that's, you hear that, the Bible doesn't actually say those exact words. This is where it's taken from. They kind of, judge not and ye shall not be judged. It doesn't say judge not lest ye be judged, but that's how you always hear it quoted for some reason. Well, remember, it's a reminder about the context. Jesus never contradicts himself. And so there's times where the, especially the legalists, will find something Jesus said and they'll zero in on that and they will ignore everything else he said. And they'll turn it into something that was never meant to be. Well, the whole judge not crowd has done that. And this is one of the places that they do it. And so we must compare Scripture with Scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, you have to take the whole counsel of God. When God speaks on something, you don't just do what Peter said that people do. It's they'll rest the Scripture. That means they'll take that one verse out and hold it. And he says it's to their own destruction. Instead of noting the text and then looking at what else is said in the Bible that applies to this situation or to this teaching, this doctrine or what have you. And that's to rightly divide the word of truth, meaning you put it where it belongs. You put it in the right place. And, you know, we have our little library over here, and I have to go in there every once in a while and straighten it up. Because some people either don't try or don't know how to put things in alphabetical order. And so I go back and I fix it. And I'm thinking, you know, it has to be careless whenever the first word is A and it's down at the bottom. You know, somebody just didn't care. But then there's other times where it's questionable, you know. And so that's the way it is with the Bible. Sometimes I'll hear people use the Bible in a certain way and I think they probably just haven't really grasped, you know, what it, but then there's other times where you just know good and well. I have Jehovah's Witnesses come to me, and when I start quoting the scriptures that say that Jesus is God in manifest in the flesh, you can tell they are not hearing it. They do not want to hear that. They're not going to hear it. When you talk about other, we'll talk about some more of these later on, but there's certain places where you talk about things, you can just see people zoning out. And the judge not crowd is just like that. And so he said, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Now, does it say judge not, period?
No.
Pedro, he already pointed out, that's what they do. Yeah. It doesn't, there's not a period. It's a, what's that little squiggly thing there?
Question mark.
But after judge not.
Question mark.
No, not
a, comma.
Comma. Judge not. She's right, there's a question mark under the judge not on the bottom. I mean in your Bible.
Oh.
Judge not, comma.
It's
a comma. See? I just had to make sure you all know what that squiggly thing is. So it's not, period. So the context is the larger context. As you read this, you're going to see. If you don't want to be judged for your sins and your failures, don't be going around judging everybody for theirs. In other words, well, let's not have the words. Let's keep going and you'll see it. Not only is it implicit in the text, but it's backed up by comparing Scripture with others. Anybody, you know, God, I have to say this every once in a while, God just has written the Bible with two things in mind for those who, you know, really want to understand it. It's number one, you'll be honest. Number two, that you have some level of common sense. And so a lot of what you hear these days, people are dishonest. Those are the people who don't want to hear it when you try to explain it to them. But then other people, you have to give them a little leeway. Common sense is not common these days. So that's why we have to be patient. And so again, Jesus said this, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. But he also said this in John 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, if in your Bible there in Luke 6:37, if Jesus meant judge not, meaning never judge ever, then he contradicted himself. Because this is also the words of Jesus, and he says, judge not according to appearance. In other words, I use this as an example. The legalists used to be really bad about it. They saw Pedro go into the movie theater. Then they would come up after and say, you know, if he was a Sunday school teacher or something like that, especially, brother, I saw you going into the movie theater. Two of the six movies being shown there were rated R. Now, how are people to know that that's not what you're going in there to see? And then they abuse that, you know, avoid all appearance of evil text. And so then they take Pedro's Sunday school class from him.
I got one better. I have this one is an alcoholic. It's a beverage. It's in a smoking bottle. It's called a Malta. For us Puerto Ricans, that's like drinking a Coke. Mm-hmm. Because it looks just like drinking malt liquor. You know, they're like, you shouldn't be doing that.
Aventura,
you shouldn't be drinking.
Now, that happened to me. Well, everybody look at Sean. That's close enough.
Oh, it's me.
It's me.
But I got lectured to for drinking the IBC root beer. You know those IBC root beer bottles?
Yeah,
Jill.
We always go to ginger beer.
Ginger beer, yeah.
A lot of reactions for that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And kombucha. See, those are the examples where you can't be judging things by appearances like that. Now, if Pedro goes to the movies and someone sees him go into a movie that is, what is that rated? Or something like that. Then the thing to do then is say, Pedro, why were you going in there? I mean, that's just, not to judge, but he's a brother, so there is accountability, see?
Yeah.
But I'm not judging. I'm asking so that, we can clear this matter up. That's the way people don't do that. And then Pedro says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm delivering something, and they put it all in the back of that theater, and it just happened to be. That happened down here when we were meeting at the, the Continent, yeah. We met in a movie theater for a few months. And there was a guy who I saw go in and to the movie that was a really bad movie at that time. I can't remember which one it was. And then he came back out, and I was just thinking at the time, and so I try to be, so I walked up to him and I said, brother, how could you walk in and see that movie? And, you should be ashamed of yourself. And he can tell by the way I was acting, I wasn't being serious. But he's like, I had to go back there to get something out of the closet in the back. Behind the screen, there's stuff back there. So that's... Huh? Yeah, you didn't know that? All kinds of stuff back there. Yeah, when we had that theater, that's where we stored our stuff, and we'd bring it out from behind the screen. And what's funny is I actually had a friend who worked at the theater, and so we'd go back there while the movie's on. You could actually sit back there and watch the movie, but everything's backwards. You can see it though, the screen. Yeah. So that's why you shouldn't judge according to the appearance. But what does Jesus say? Judge righteous judgment. So he's telling you to judge. He's telling you how to judge. See, and that's the main point. So the Spirit of Christ also inspired the words of Paul here. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:15. Says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Why? Because he's not judging hypocritically. He's spiritual. Now the carnal man who's involved in sin, that's where we get into the trouble. It's judging meaning whether it's right or wrong. It doesn't necessarily mean you make a scene. You see what I'm saying? Judging is a matter of, it's right or wrong. Well, scripture with scripture, you put the two together and you have it. Jesus said, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. And then you remember he also said, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is a judge of no man. Why? Because if you're judging biblically, you're not a hypocrite. And so you're judging biblically, and you're not guilty of the same things. That's how easy it is. And you have to read the Bible like that. But sadly, that's how it seems like so few people do read the Bible that carefully. God designed the Bible this way on purpose, by the way. And this is going to be a hard pill to swallow, but it's true. God designed the Bible this way on purpose so the wicked will fall. Do you know that? God's not willing that any should perish, but if you're wicked and... He says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if you won't repent, God's basically given you enough rope to hang yourself. And he's done it right there in the Bible. Let's go over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 28. We'll start in verse 9 there. Isaiah 28 verse 9. I'll read a couple verses while you turn there. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand?